Every year, more and more people are turning to bicycles for recreation, exercise, and commuting. And according to a recent study cited by Forbes magazine, bicyclists saved at least $4.6 billion last year in the U.S. by pedaling instead of driving. While our rates of bike ridership in the U.S. don't even come close to touching that of countries in Europe, it's still on the rise, and cities are taking notice by adding new bike infrastructure every year. And it's not just big cities either. Smaller cities right here in western Wisconsin are taking some big steps to become more bike-friendly. This hour, we talk about bike culture, bike infrastructure, and sometimes misunderstood bike laws right here on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for tuning in. I'm joined in the studio right now by two gentlemen on the front lines of bike planning. First, I'd like to introduce Patrick Bielefuss. He's a planner with Cedar Corporation, which does city planning for the city of Menominee. Thanks for joining us, Patrick.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Also joining us in studio is Bob Ironman. He's chairman of Eau Claire's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Welcome to the West Side, Bob.
Thank you, Rich.
And joining us by phone is Matt Andrews. Matt is a former regional director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation and former bike program specialist at UW-Eau Claire. Thanks for taking the time, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And listeners, this program works especially well because of your calls, questions, and comments. So give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. How do you bike? Are you a recreational bicyclist or a daily commuter? Do you ride year-round, snow, ice, and rain be damned? Give us a call. And no matter how you ride, what do you think of your city's bike infrastructure? Is it good enough? Is it lacking? The number is 1-800-228-5615 to sound off. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. You can also post a comment or a question on our West Side Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and look for The West Side, and you can post there. We'll get you on the air one way or the other. So with that, I want to talk kind of generally about a term that seems to be coming up a lot in the research that I was doing for the program, bike culture. And I hear a lot about how it's becoming more of a mainstream thing in the U.S. Matt Andrews, I'll start with you. What about western Wisconsin? Are we seeing the same trend here?
Absolutely. Bicycling, whether it's used for a form of transportation or recreation, is on the rise. And Wisconsin is no exception. Wisconsin continues to be one of the leading states for bicycling in the U.S., often not thought of as a bicycling state, but they are consistently ranked in the top 10 for bicycle-friendly state.
Huh. And Bob Ironman, what about Eau Claire locally and in Menominee? What are you seeing on the ground level?
Yeah, I think that the city of Eau Claire has really committed to a vision of a multimodal transportation system. And so a lot of what's happened over the last 75 or 100 years in the U.S. has been very car-centric. And so we've developed a tremendous system of highways and city streets and those things, really with cars in mind. And I think this vision of a multimodal transportation system really enables people to undergo basic transportation using cars, but also bicycles, pedestrians, and public transportation as well. And so we're really trying to develop the infrastructure, but also kind of the interfaces between these different kinds of transportation so that you can ride a bike and then hop on a bus, or drive your car, park it, and hop on a bus, or, mm-hmm. you know, be a pedestrian in town. And I think a lot of these things particularly work well in the cities because the distances aren't that great, and driving a car around a city is sometimes fairly inconvenient because you got to park and all those sorts of things. So
yeah, especially I imagine downtown trying to park, exactly, right. Trying to negotiate that and pay for it. Now, so who is riding their bikes now? That didn't just some years ago.
Bob. Yeah, well, I think that the city of Eau Claire particularly started out with a really nice set of bike trails. And so yeah. A lot of people, you know, so some of the original biking that went on over the last 20 years really focused on recreational uses. But I think there's also, because we've been working pretty hard on trying to create an effective infrastructure, really make it safer, more convenient for people to ride, also have bike racks and things like terminal facilities when they get to where they're going, I think a lot more people are using bikes as basic transportation.
And Patrick, I mentioned that you're with the Cedar Corporation, do some city planning, but you're also on the advisory council in Menominee for the bicycle pedestrian thing. What are you seeing? You know, people think, okay, college towns, it's just the college kids that are using this stuff. But what are you seeing in Menominee?
Right, that's a big part. I think another influence, too, is that the Red Cedar Trail trailhead is right in Menominee, and that, I think, gets over 50,000 users a year. And so part of the infrastructure plan is to get those people to come into the city and bike, not just drive to the city and bike south, but while you're in town, stay within the community. So you have students, you have tourists, but I also see a lot more just people going to work every day, riding their bike. And our office is downtown, and I've noticed over the years a lot more bicycle traffic and being year-round.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's, up until recently, I thought that would be something that only a crazy person would do, ride year-round. And I've done it myself. It's really not so bad.
No.
Matt Andrews, what are these people, you know, these new riders riding for? Is there a breakdown as far as, you know, commuting, recreation, exercise, anything like that?
I think it really encompasses, I mean, many things, you know, just like you just mentioned, recreation, you know, gas prices, environmental concerns. But I don't think that one thing in particular can be pinpointed as to the reason for the rise in bicycling. I think that, you know, people realize the need to be green in their lives and to do it anyway. You know, it's these small ways that they can be green, and bicycling is just an easy one. It's such an easy choice. Many people already have a bicycle, you know, so it's just getting on it and using it.
Right, and Bob, you'd like to play off of that?
Yeah, I think in the cities that really have become bike friendly, both in the U.S. and in Europe, they've done a lot of studies about why do people ride bicycles, and particularly for people who are bike commuting, there's four big reasons. One is that they will ride bikes for commuting when it becomes convenient and efficient. So if you feel safe, if it's you know, an easy ride for you where you're not feeling threatened and you've gotten a nice trail or a nice bike route, that's one thing. It's also inexpensive. I mean, I've become a clean commuter, so I don't buy a bike parking permit on campus anymore. I ride my bike or walk or ride the bus. And I probably save $600 to $800 a year personally by switching from a car to a bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good for your health. You know, you're out on your bike every day. So I get, you know, over a half an hour of bike riding every day just getting to work and back. And then I'll also do other stuff. But when you're on your bike, too, you're also a little bit more part of the community. So I frequently greet people. I see people. You know, when I'm in my car, I'm completely isolated from the rest of the world. And then finally, there's an environmental impact, too. And most times, bike riders don't cite that as nearly as high numbers as these other issues. But I think in the bigger sense, you know, you switch from a car to a bike, you decrease the amount of energy that you use by at least a factor of 10, just by the amount of weight that you're traveling with. And there's an environmental impact that, especially in big cities and in places where there's lots of people doing this.
Now, you did cite, you know, cost and savings, and I mentioned that in the lead into the program. You were talking about the parking permit. How much does gas, the price of gasoline, Bob, how much does that play into that?
Yeah, that play. I mean, I when I did that calculation, $600 to $800. Part of it was, you know, the $250 or $300 for the parking permit, but most of the rest of it was the cost of driving a vehicle back and forth, and you know, so I was just using the kind of the federal 50 cents a mile and just adding it up over the year, and that comes up to $600 or $800. So I could buy a brand new, really nice bike every single year and come out even.
Right.
I just did buy a new bike, so it's great.
Patrick,
You know, I haven't thought of it financially, personally, why I bike to work on occasion or do my shopping, but I think for me the value is it's just nice to be outside, and you know, after a day of work, it's a good way to wind down as you're going home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mental value there for your mental health, I think.
Nice to be outside. Let me ask you, are you a fair weather bicyclist?
Pretty much. I'll admit that. I would say I'll probably hang my bike up pretty soon as it turns a little colder. I still use it on the weekends, go get a newspaper, things like that. And part of it is my schedule. I do a lot of night meetings, so sometimes I don't get back to the office till 10, 11 o'clock. So
sure.
That kind of prohibits it a little bit. But when I do it, I really enjoy it.
And also, you know, I rode my bike for a few years. I just chose, you know, to not to have a car for a little while. I need to get back into that for many reasons. But you mentioned getting closer to the environment. It just seems like you see things you don't notice when you're in the car when you're racing by.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One thing you see is lots and lots of cars going by, depending on where you're riding. But it's really true. A lot of the bike trails go through a little more natural areas. I have a way that I can get to work where I go through Putnam Park, which is a nice. It's like a country road that's right in the middle of town through a park area. And yeah, you know, I see eagles, I see deer, I see all sorts of, you know, beautiful foliage and all that sort of stuff. So it's really nice. And I see other people face to face and say hello and, you know, kind of get to recognize the people who are commuting the same time. Sometimes we ride together. So there's a community aspect there that I think is great.
We're talking bicycle culture in Western Wisconsin this hour. We're talking about the infrastructure. We're going to be talking about the bicycle laws and ridership. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We've got phone lines wide open for your call. What do you think about your bike infrastructure in your city? How often do you ride a bike? Are you a year-round commuter? Let us know and share your story, 800-228-5615. And I just have to ask very quickly before we shift gears here a little bit, no pun intended, but Matt, and I'm going to go Matt, Bob, and Patrick, have you been hit by a car? Have you ever had a run-in with a motorist, I guess? Let's be more broad.
Luckily, to date, I have not. I'm a year-round commuter. I use my bicycle primarily for transportation. So I am out there on the roadways. And I fortunately have not been hit by a motor vehicle. I have had some close interactions with them where perhaps the motorists did not have a good understanding of the laws and the rights and responsibilities that they have. But, yes, luckily I've not had any crashes with a motor vehicle.
I'm glad to hear it. Bob, any close scrapes?
Yeah, I'm the same as Matt. I've never been hit, but lots of times I've had challenges. If you're crossing a street and a person who's coming from, let's say, from your right is going to turn right, a lot of the streets, particularly around Eau Claire, have sort of right lanes. They call them slip lanes where you can make a quick right turn. And it's those people that will tend to not see a bike that's coming across, usually in the pedestrian lane there. Mm-hmm. So I'd admonish car drivers to be sure to look when you take a look to the left to see if traffic's coming. Look for bikes too because they're frequently there.
Patrick,
yeah, my experience has been the same, and I think just part of being a bicyclist is really being aware of what's going around you and understanding that you're traveling at a different speed as other people, and they're not necessarily going to see you all the time.
Bob,
this is kind of a bike culture thing. You know, I've been to a couple of cities, Portland, Oregon, and Boulder, Colorado, that really are mature bike friendly cities, and you can really see a difference as both a pedestrian and a biker. When you get on a bike, you're seen better. When you step up to the curb as a pedestrian, traffic senses you, sometimes will come to a stop even when you're not expecting it. And so I think that part of the bike culture is also the entire culture of all people traveling all different modes of transportation.
Just
being aware of the others,
right, being exposed to it more often.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a big part of it. If there are not a lot of bikes around, you don't expect to see them. So
now, what about infrastructure in Western Wisconsin or the Chippewa Valley? Matt, we'll start with you. How does our infrastructure for bicyclists rate?
I think that the communities of Eau Claire and Menominee, where I have my most experience, you know, they're really following suit with what's happening nationwide. Some of our larger cities in Wisconsin, Madison, Milwaukee, are, you know, a bit ahead of Western Wisconsin, but that's just because they are larger cities. But Menominee, which Patrick will tell you about, is a smaller community that has adopted some advanced infrastructure. They recently installed what's called a bike box, which allows bicyclists, when they're riding in a bicycle lane, to pull up to a stoplight and stop in front of motor vehicles, giving them priority to get through the intersection safely, and then they merge right back into the bicycle lane. So it really does not disrupt traffic flow at all. So seeing a small community like Menominee adopt advanced bicycle infrastructure really makes a statement to the rest of our small communities to say anyone can do it and it can be successful, and it doesn't have to be this wild, wacky thing. You know,
right.
Now it's, you know, we can expect other communities to follow suit and try out some of this infrastructure.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that you're living in the Twin Cities, I know that Minneapolis, I believe, was recently and years ago was rated the most bike-friendly city in the U.S. So comparisons, what do they have that we don't at this point?
Right. Yeah, Bicycling Magazine actually ranked Minneapolis as the number one bicycle-friendly city. I believe that was in 2011, and then in 2012, Minneapolis was the number two bicycle-friendly city. One of the things that Minneapolis has is, of course, wonderful infrastructure.
Meaning what?
They've
trails?
Roughly 120 miles of bike trails and lanes. So the bike trails are completely separated from motor vehicles. You know, you might have to cross the street, but you're not riding along with motor vehicles. The Minneapolis Greenway is essentially a bicycle highway.
Hmm.
Where you are completely disconnected from motor vehicles and you're only out there with pedestrians and bicyclists. So that kind of, you know, being separated makes people feel safer on their bike and encourages them to try their bike more often. So, you know, many people that may start out on the Greenway, they're going to be riding on the street within a couple of weeks because they're going to feel more confident, they're going to feel more comfortable. They're going to see all the benefits of riding a bicycle and just naturally grow into using it more often, whether it's with traffic or not. So infrastructure is a huge thing, of course, but there's these wonderful groups in and around the Twin Cities metro area that do a lot for education and encouragement. And then just, you know, the city government, all the evaluation and planning and then the enforcement of it. You know, everything really comes together when you have a lot of partners, and that's what Minneapolis has is a lot of partners, the city government and the police department. And then again, like I said, these great organizations like the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota, the Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition, and now we've got a bicycle ride sharing program called Nice Ride, where if you don't own a bicycle, you can rent one for a very low fee. And there's stations all over the city where you can rent a bike from one station, return it to another station. It's very convenient. So all these things come together to earn Minneapolis this high designation.
Now, Bob, let me ask you, that high designation, can that kind of thing only exist in a city where, you know, things are closer together, it might be more convenient for them to ride, you know, 5 minutes to a store versus here where you might have to ride 15 or, you know, longer distances. Is that kind of bike-friendly city only a metropolitan thing?
Well, no, I think the city of Eau Claire in 2011 was designated by League of American Bicyclists as a bike-friendly city at the bronze level. So we've been working on many of the same kinds of issues that they're working with. And Matt mentioned a bunch of words, organizational pieces that all start with the letter E. And the league uses the five E's to kind of figure out what aspects of the city. It's part of its – the first one is engineering. That's the infrastructure. So you need the bike lanes. You need the tunnels. You need the signage and the paint on the street and all that. But you also need education programs. You need encouragement. You need enforcement and evaluation and planning, all the things that Matt mentioned. And we filled out about a 50-page application when we got this designation, submitted it. And so we had to go and look at all those different aspects of what was happening in Eau Claire. And we found places where we were succeeding and doing some of the things that they're looking for, and we found a lot of places where we were deficient. And so we've been able to use that both to kind of tout ourselves as a bike-friendly community. But in addition, we've also been able to use the feedback and that structure to begin to figure out what are the issues and aspects of our community that we need to work on in order to move ahead. Mm. And just a final note, we've recently submitted the same kind of application for UW-Eau Claire to become a bike-friendly university. Mm. Similar application, the same 5 E's, and we're hoping to hear back. They said we should hear back in November, so we'll find out how we're doing. The university's application, I was involved in both, looked about as solid as the city's. So we're really got our fingers crossed that we'll become, and we would just be the second university in the state that got that designation behind UW-Madison. So,
well, that would be very, very cool. But what's the practical, you know, application, or what's the, so what?
Well, first of all, it's a communication piece. So you get this designation, you can kind of include it when you talk about your city or your university in various ways. But then in addition, I think that information I talked about where first of all, you got to get all this stuff organized. You answer this huge questionnaire. And so you begin to identify a whole bunch of issues that are important that you may not even realize. So it helps a lot with your understanding of what's happening as well as the planning to become better. And I think that's the place where it's really benefited us. And for the city, we're getting ready to reapply in the next year or so, and hopefully we'll move up to a silver designation because we've been able to identify a bunch of issues. And as time has gone by, BPAC, along with the city, has improved a bunch of the issues that came up in that application. So
very cool. Yeah. We're talking about bike culture in western Wisconsin this hour on the West Side. That's ridership infrastructure and bike laws. That's all coming up after the break. You can join the conversation as well. How well do you think your city is embracing the bicyclist? Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. The number again, 1-800-228-5615. We'll have more from Matt Andrews, Bob Ironman, and Patrick Bielefus right after this.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
And of course, there you have it, one of my favorite rock bands, Queen, with their song Bicycle Race. We're talking about bike culture in western Wisconsin this hour on the West Side. That includes ridership, infrastructure, and bike laws. The number to call in with your question or comment is 1-800-228-5615. What do you think about bike laws in Wisconsin? What do you think about bike infrastructure in your city? How often do you ride? Are you a year-round commuter? If so, give us a call and let us know what that is like and how it's changed your life. The number, 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by Matt Andrews. He's a former regional director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation, Bob Ironman, chair of the Eau Claire Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Patrick Bielefus, planner for the Cedar Corporation in Menominee. It's a city planning, a company that does city planning for Menominee, and was involved in a new thing that is fairly new to Wisconsin called the Bike Box. We'll talk about that in just 1 second. But do call in. We'd love to hear your story. So as far as infrastructure in the Chippewa Valley, what are some terms, and I'll go to you, Bob, what are some of the terms that we see? I mean, everyone knows what a bike lane is, I would think, but what are some of the other things?
Yeah, when the city created the bike pedestrian plan, which has become part of the city's comprehensive plan, we passed it in 2010, we made a map of the whole city, and we had sidewalks on there and also had designated streets as primary, secondary, or tertiary bike routes.
Okay.
And so this would be, if I'm near the university and I want to bike out to the mall, what would be the best set of streets that I would take? And each of those designations, primary, secondary, and tertiary, had kind of a level of bike accommodation associated with them. So you can have on-street bike lanes where it's a designated space. Usually it's 5 to 8 feet wide, and that's really a space where bikes only are allowed to be.
Does there have to be a line or something?
Yeah, there's usually a line either on one side or both, depending on where the bike lane is. The challenge with putting in bike lanes is that if you put it on streets where you have parking, you have to have a parking area, and then the bike lane needs to be separate. So you can't put a designated bike lane through a place where cars are going to park.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes then, instead of using designated bike lanes, they'll either use signage on the side of the street that just says bike route, or there's another thing that has just come up in Eau Claire recently, which are called sharrows. And it's about a 3-foot wide stenciled, painted piece that's on the street, and it's got a picture of a bicycle and then two kind of chevron-looking arrows above the bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a space that's usually put in the driving lane just to the left side of the parking lane. So you might have a parking lane along the side and then the sharrows and then the driving lane. And the sharrows are put kind of to the right of that main driving lane, but in it, far enough away from the parked car so you won't hit the car or a car door that opens quickly while you're riding your bike past. And it's really an advisory thing that tells car drivers that there will be bikes there, helps the bikes to know which part of the street that they should ride in to be safest, and also accommodates people that are parking their cars. So
that's good to know, because I live near the in Eau Claire here, and live near the softball fields.
Yeah,
and on
Hamilton,
there was a line, and then there was the bike Cheryl. And to be honest, I thought that Cheryl was saying that line, you know, people could ride bikes on the inside of that line, but that's the parking
lane. That's really a parking lane. And if you're ever by the soccer parks during any kind of soccer events on the weekends,
it's
you
full.
See that it's completely full. The cars, the parking lane's completely parked full. And yet you still have kids and people riding their bikes trying to make their way through that. So mm-hmm. the sharrows help to keep everybody aware that this is a shared space. There's going to be bikes here. There's going to be cars here. There's going to be parked cars, pedestrians getting in and out. And so it's just sort of an alert. It doesn't change anything legally. Everybody still has the same legal rights and responsibilities. But it does just kind of indicate to everybody, be aware this is a shared space. You're going to see all different kinds of people moving around, and you just need to be careful and be aware of each other.
We've got our first call of the hour. This is Larry in Barron. A reminder to all of our listeners that you can call in with your question or comment. We're talking about bike culture and bike infrastructure and bike laws this hour on the West Side. Give us a call and let us know what you think about your city's bike friendliness. The number is 1-800-228-5615. Larry in Barron, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two general questions. I guess one is, could they talk, I would be a recreational biker.
Okay.
And could you talk a little bit about what kind of bike should I buy? They seem to range from $100 to $5,000. And I get confused with, how many gears are practical and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And two is, what would the average pace be for a recreational biker? When I walk, I probably walk, people I walk with go from 15-minute miles to 20-minute miles
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And so if they could talk about those two items, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Larry.
Let's
go to Matt for the first half of that question. Matt, are you going to hawk any brands on the air here? Or what kind of a bike, for someone that's going to be a recreational user, what kind of a bike would they be looking for as far as comfort and fit and all that?
Yeah, well, there are many great bicycle brands out there. I'm not going to steer anyone towards one brand or the other, but a little-known fact is that more bicycles are made in the state of Wisconsin than all other states combined.
Wow.
Actually, the higher-end bikes are still made in the United States. But beyond that, though, for Wisconsin bicycle companies, we have many more than you would perhaps think about. So
mm-hmm.
Where I said I'm not going to really name any brands, but do consider supporting Wisconsin's economy by choosing a bicycle that has a company's headquarters based in Wisconsin. But beyond that, choosing the right bicycle for you, number one is you got to get a bicycle that's the right fit for you.
Well,
go ahead, Rich.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I didn't even realize, and I rode bike for many years, strictly a bike, and I didn't even realize that you go into a bike shop, you're supposed to be fitted to the bike. I think that's something that's overlooked by a lot of people that might just go out to a department store and pick one up off the shelf.
Yeah, absolutely. With the department store bikes, they don't have trained mechanics on staff, obviously. They don't have a real bicycle shop. They do have employees who are assembling the bicycles. Sometimes it is assembled incorrectly at the department store. So I always encourage people, go to your local bike shop, They have a wide variety of bikes. Just because you go to the bike shop does not mean that you're going to have to buy a high-end retail, you know, retail-priced bike. But they have the trained staff. They have the knowledge. They have the experience to know the right type of bike for you. So things that you want to ask yourself are, you know, what type of riding am I going to be doing? Am I doing recreational riding? Do I need to commute 7 miles to work one way? You know, those kind of things are going to have factors in what style of bicycle you decide to purchase. But first and foremost is the sizing of the bike and the fit, because if it's comfortable, you're going to want to use it. If you have, issues with your comfort on the bike, then you're not going to want to ride it as often. You know,
sure.
Riding a bike is fun. And if it's comfortable, it's just going to, you know, it's just going to be purely fun. And that's what you want. So
all right.
That's my recommendation.
Now, Patrick, you're a recreational bicyclist.
Yep.
Have you got any advice?
Well, I have two bicycles. One I use mainly for commuting within the city. There aren't really any steep grades. We have some nice trails that'll take you right to the downtown from North Menominee. And most manufacturers will make what's referred to as a commuter bicycle. And I have one of those. It's only 8 speeds, which is more than enough. It's a very simple bicycle, and it works very well. If I'm going to go on longer trips, I have an older bicycle that I've probably had over 20 years, Cannondale.
More of a road bike kind of a thing?
More of a road bike, and kind of it was a mountain bike at one time, kind of converted. You know, I have 24 speeds on it, and if I'm going to go longer distances with more, you know, a varying topography, I'll take that one.
Okay.
So I think you just have to look at what you're going to be doing with it.
But the important part is go to a local bike shop, get fitted, otherwise the whole thing could be for naught.
Definitely.
Now, Bob, let me ask you about the second question. You know, people riding on the streets, is there any kind of pace that you have to keep to be able to – do you have to try to race the traffic?
Oh, no. Oh, no, not at all. I think you can set your own pace. And I think one of the things that I've really valued is that now it's relatively easy and cheap to get a nice device that's either mounted on your bike or that you carry in your pocket that can tell you how fast you're going at a time, how far you've gone, how much elevation change you've had. If you've got a smartphone, they have some remarkable apps now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called Map My Ride, but there's some
My
others.
Ride.
And you kind of start it up, and it uses the GPS system in the phone, and it keeps track of exactly where you've gone. So no matter what your route has been, when you get to the end, you push the button, and it'll tell you exactly how far you've ridden, how much elevation change you've had, how long it's taken, your average pace, all sorts of information like that. And so those kinds of devices really help with that. Me personally, I mean, I ride to work and back. If I'm feeling good and nice and energetic and there's a wind at my back, I can get up over 15 miles an hour. If it's everything's the opposite, I'm probably going more like 10 miles an hour. So, you know, you just kind of go with the flow, and depends on how I'm feeling and how the conditions are. In the winter, sometimes, of course, you got to slow down a little bit because you might be seeing some patches of ice or some snow or whatever. So some of those things kind of slow you down. But I think that it is nice to have that information there. You can get a little bike computer, they call it, mounted on your handlebars. And they're, you know, they cost $25, $30, $40 depending on the quality.
And they're pretty easy to install.
Pretty easy to install and easy to use. You can just push a button. And again, you can start it at the beginning of your trip, and then it'll tell you at the end how far you've gone and all that. So that's a nice way to approach it.
There you have it, Larry. First stop is the local bike shop. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about bike culture on the west side this hour. We're talking about infrastructure right now. We're going to get into the laws a little bit later. We are getting close to the top of the hour, so we're going to have to race through this. Big news as far as bike infrastructure, and it made headlines. I did a story about it for WPR, is the bike box in Menominee. What's so exciting about this, Patrick, and how does it work? What is the basic premise of a bike box?
Yeah, it's a neat piece of infrastructure that you don't see often. Just to step back a little bit, one of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee members has a daughter who lives in the Netherlands. So they often go over and visit, do a lot of bicycling. He comes back with pictures, shares them, you know, shares the ideas. And what happened was the city was looking at a large street project last year, and that was connecting It was about an 8-block project, with 4 blocks of it being total reconstruction of the road. And it runs through UW-Stout, and it ends up on State Highway 25 or South Broadway, which is very busy. Mm-hmm. And so they brought that project to the advisory committee, and the idea of, hey, I bet that would be a good place for the bike box, and it would work there. So it became part of the design. And what it does is, and Matt talked about it earlier, it allows bicyclists to come up, when they come up to the stop sign, to get in front of the vehicles. There's a separate painted area for them.
So they're able to go from the bike lane, which is on the side, towards the side, and kind of cross in front and then position.
Correct. Okay. And so when the light changes, they get to go through first.
And why is that important?
Well, I think what it does is it's hard for bicyclists and vehicles to mix, especially if you're behind the cars or in between them. It's a lot more difficult. I think you're less likely to be seen as a bicyclist. So what it does, it makes you very visible, and it gets you through the intersection first safely.
And Matt already alluded to how big of a deal it is and the fact that it's sending a message. Bob, are there any plans for Eau Claire to step up to the bike box?
Yeah, we've discussed bike boxes probably over the last year or two in Eau Claire, and we haven't really come up with an intersection where the situation was just right for it. But I think that it's one example of a variety of kinds of, these are particularly paint on the street. Sometimes there's signage along the side as well, where you really are accommodating bicycles and at the same time trying to make it so the car traffic flow isn't really impacted all that much. When you're sitting in a bike box at an intersection and the light turns green, the bikes are pretty quick across the intersection. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really slow cars down that much, even though they're behind the bikes. Mm-hmm. And yet it provides a tremendous amount of convenience and safety for the bikes. So it's a win-win for everybody.
And in an intersection where there isn't a bike box, you're far on the right. If you need to take a left, is that especially problematic?
Well, it's challenging. I do that almost every day on Cross and Claremont, which is one of our big divided four-lane roads in Eau Claire. And what I do is I actually get over in the left lane and take the lane. So I get into the left-hand turn lane and get right in with the cars. If I'm leading the group, it's kind of like I'm making my own bike box. And when it turns green, I just go out there.
Sure.
But I'm being a little bold. And mm-hmm. a lot of bikers won't be willing to do that because you are putting yourself right out there in the mix of the traffic. So that bike box really sends the signal that this is the way you're supposed to do it. This is legal. A bike is a vehicle by Wisconsin state law. So anytime a bike deems it appropriate, they can take the lane and really occupy the lane. It's risky, especially with the culture the way it is.
Sure. Patrick?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And I think what you see when people are at a busy intersection turning left, they're not sure if they should get in the traffic with the car mm-hmm. or should they stay on the side, which makes for awkward crossing. And sometimes they just go straight across and then cross again.
Yeah.
Right. And I imagine, do you get any strange looks from drivers, or are they pretty accepting of that?
I think some people are sometimes surprised to see me there, but really I try very hard to make it so that I'm not causing any difficulties for any of the car drivers. I think people behind me, are probably the most surprised because they come up and there's a bike sitting right in front of them.
I'm crossing
Claremont. I'm actually in a side street, but I'm going to turn left and cross Claremont to get on our bike trail. That's why I'm doing it. You know, if I get the position, which the bike box gives you, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm visible. I'm first into the intersection, so mm-hmm. so people, you know, and I'm keeping my head on a swivel and really keeping my eyes open. So I'm ready to dodge if I have to. But it works. A bike box would really be a nice way to mm-hmm. communicate to everybody. This is how we're going to accommodate the bikes.
Yeah, I would say we've gotten a lot of really good feedback, all positive about that bike box, whether it's Stout students or just people that ride their bicycles, that they've seen it. You know, part of that whole 8-block project was also putting in bike lanes that were never there before, and then some crossing islands for pedestrians. And everyone, you know, students that had left for the summer and came back, they've all said, like, wow, that's really cool.
And as far as I know, from the research I've done, Menominee's the second city in the state to Madison to have this. Even Milwaukee doesn't have this.
Yeah, surprising.
It is surprising.
Cool.
So we're talking about bike culture on the west side. We'll take our final break here. If you've got any questions or comments for our guests, give us a call at 1-800 228-5615. I'm curious to hear what you think of your city's bicycle friendliness and whether or not you're a year-round commuter or, you know, why do you ride a bike, I guess, is the main question. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. We'll have more from Matt Andrews, Bob Ironman, and Patrick Bielefus right after this. Bicycles are all the rage, and they're getting more popular in the U.S., even right here in western Wisconsin. And cities are taking part in the revolution, I guess we'll call it, adding new infrastructure and making it safer for bicyclists to navigate the busy city streets. I'm joined by Patrick Bielefus. He's a planner for the Cedar Corporation, which does city planning for Menominee. And Bob Ironman, chair of the Eau Claire Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And joining us by phone is Matt Andrews. He's a former regional director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation. So we've talked a bit about some of the new infrastructure. Let's talk about how it gets there. And we'll start with Patrick. That bike box, how quick did it go from paper to concrete? It seemed pretty fast.
It did. I think with any street project, it probably gets planned 1 year and then built the next year. So it was, they brought the kind of the site plan for the project, showed it to the committee, and the committee provided that input, and they took it back and they designed it. Seemed to work. They designed it in, and it was built the next year. The nice thing about these committees is that they can really give you specific information that, as a planner, you're not out there all the time in your community and biking everywhere. You're mm-hmm. you're doing other things. And these people are really, it's a main part of their life is to bike everywhere. So some of the things that they've brought to the table that the city has basically pursued, a bicycle parking ordinance for new industrial businesses, commercial businesses, apartment complexes, things like that, institutional type businesses like a hospital, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting in expanding or putting in a new parking lot, you're required to put in so many bicycle parking spaces based on how many car parking spaces. Hmm. And then there's also an incentive. If you increase that number, you can reduce your automobile parking. So for the business, there's less costs in a larger parking lot. At the same time, you can encourage your employees to ride bike to work. So that's been kind of nice. They've also done a bicycle parking infrastructure inventory citywide of all the bike racks and how many bikes they hold. So that's good for planning purposes. They've also looked at places in the downtown area specifically for bicycle parking lots. There's a lot of people biking to the downtown that live, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a lot of students. But there's when you're going to coffee shops, to the bank, there's not necessarily a place for you to park your bike. And so they're actually looking at implementing maybe 3 bicycle parking lots in various areas downtown.
Huh, in Menominee, that is something else. Now, Bob, what about in Eau Claire? Is it safe to say that anytime there's a new major street renovation that there's going to be some kind of new paint or bicycle infrastructure going on it, or is it not that simple?
Yeah, let me describe how that works, because each fall, and this will be coming up very soon now, the city engineers and the planners get together and create the street projects for the following year. And now, since we've passed this comprehensive bike pedestrian plan with the maps in there designating the different city streets as primary, secondary, tertiary bike routes, those plans come through BPAC, and we have the same kind of input that Patrick was talking about, where we get to comment and make suggestions, and then we also have the plan to back us up. So Vine Street this year was redone, completely rebuilt on the north side, and that plan came through. That's one of our primary crosstown designated routes in our plan, and so we were able to discuss that with the planner and the engineers, and that's one of the streets now that has a parking lane and then the sharrows on them, and mm-hmm. those are painted. the full length of that street. Hamilton has had some of that same treatment on the south side. So we get to see all the street projects before they go to the city council, before they get really locked in, and have some input and some suggestions based on the plan that we've done. It's interesting to hear Patrick's comments because we've been going through a lot of those same things in Eau Claire. We had to count all the bike racks in Eau Claire as part of the bike-friendly application, and we also have the bike parking ordinance. We've been working on a biking on the sidewalk ordinance. We've been working with downtown and Water Street business improvement districts to create bike corrals, which basically you harvest one or two car parking places during the summer primarily, and you accommodate it with some bike racks and some planters and stuff, so that this becomes – it's on street, but it looks like a car parking place, but you turn it into a bike corral where bikes can park. Mm-hmm. So some of those same kinds of things happening.
Let me ask you this. You know, as a bike advisory mm-hmm. Committee, do you often come up with this bike utopia plan and give it to the city and say, we want this, and then they'll say, well, we'll give you this?
Sure. There's some of that. You know, it's a little different. It's taken a while. But, you know, we really have seen, particularly the engineers and the planners, have really come around to recognizing that this is something that's valuable to the city. With the passage of the comprehensive plan, the city council made a commitment to this vision. And so, you know, now we can, when we come up against, well, that's going to cost money, that's going to be this, that's going to be that, we can say, well, you know, this is the comprehensive plan. This is what it means when you commit to being a bike-friendly city. And so it's worked pretty well. We've done well.
Patrick.
And I think sometimes the ideas are all good, but it takes, the timing has to be right to implement them, whether it's funding, whether there's enough people to help do something. They don't just discount certain ideas, but it's like, well, when the timing's right, we'll do it. It could be three, sure. 4 years.
All right, we've got a few minutes left, gentlemen, and we're going to talk about bike law. Matt Andrews, going back to your time here in Western Wisconsin, we know that you're now a trader in Minneapolis, but... on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm going to put on my I can't even think of his name now, but it'll come to me. But put on a hat of someone I can't – whatever. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the most possibly misinformed on existing bicycle laws and 10 being a level of bike law understanding that reaches a near Zen-like state, how do we in the Midwest, in Western Wisconsin specifically, rate when it comes to knowing the law?
Really tough question, but to be honest, I'd probably put Western Wisconsin at about a 6. Mm. You know, there's still a lot of educational hurdles to overcome. You know, the introduction of new bicycle infrastructure alone is an educational topic.
Right.
But I always encourage my cycling friends or anyone that attended any of my classes that to drive your bicycle. You know, like Bob was saying, taking the lane, positioning yourself correctly is the only way that you can communicate to motorists your intentions. Using your hand signals, again, is the only way that you can communicate your intentions. So I think that both bicyclists and motorists, and even pedestrians, they all do have some education to receive yet. But overall, I would give, you know, Western Wisconsin a 6 because I think that people are getting it. Okay. I think that people are understanding it. They're seeing more bikes. They're getting on their bikes more, and they have a desire to learn. So I think that we're heading in the right direction. But, you know, I hope in the next 5 years, you know, 5 years from now, that I could say that we would be more at like an 8. That would be fantastic.
Sure. Bob, let me ask you, the bicyclists themselves, do you think the majority of them understand that they have, that, as you mentioned earlier, they are vehicles, they are, it's in the eyes of the law, a car, and have to signal, have to Do you think most people that might be recreational users understand that?
Yeah, I think there's work to be done along those lines. I think the people, you know, like me, little older people who are riding, treating their bike as a vehicle, trying to get to work, probably are aware of those things and pay attention to them. But I still see a lot of people who are riding on the wrong side of the street, who are zipping through stop signs, who are really ignoring fairly risky sorts of situations because they just think that they're a bike and they can just slip through and nobody will notice.
Mm-hmm.
A bike is, you know, by Wisconsin state law, a bicycle is defined as a vehicle. And there's some rights and responsibilities that go with that. You can take the lane, but you also have some responsibilities. And you can be ticketed. You know, you can. You know, there. It's you're a vehicle. So so you need to be careful. And I think cars sometimes ignore bikes or don't see them. So there's some education that needs to go on there. But bikes also sometimes abuse their rights and don't pay attention to the rules.
Very quickly, what is one? And I'll go to you, Bob. Like within 1 minute. What is one of the lesser-known bike laws that people totally ignore? Is it lights, the fact that you need lights or anything?
If you bicycle at night, you're required to have a white light on the front and a red reflector on the back. So that's state law. You know, I think that probably the biggest thing is positioning on the street. A bike, you can ride up to 3 feet away from the curb, and then you have 3 feet to your left where cars are prohibited from coming. So you have kind of a six-foot window around you as you ride a bike,
mm-hmm.
And if a car is closer to you than that, then they're violating the state law. So so paying attention to that as a rider and as a car driver, that's probably one of the things that people miss.
No, I wish we would have had more time for the law part of it, but it was a great discussion. Gentlemen, thank you. That's our time. I'd like to thank my guests for their discussion this hour. Patrick Biofus is a planner with Cedar Corporation in Menominee. Bob Ironman is the chair of Eau Claire's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And Matt Andrews is a former regional director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Also, a big thanks to Team Westside, too, including Mort Cypress, who handles on-air production, Henry Lippold, who produced this program, Rachel Vick for promotions, and Tiffany Coggins, and last week's guest host, Dean Collenbeck. Thank you very much. Next week, we're talking frac sand mining and a controversial new bill that seeks to restrict local authority to regulate sand mines. Until then, have a safe and productive week, and watch out for bicyclists on the road. We'll chat again next Monday morning. Thanks for listening.